Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Pitti Engineering's Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Joining us today on this call are Mr. Akshay S. Pitti, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, the senior management team of the company presidents, Mr. Varun Agarwal, Mr. Sandeep Agarwal, and Mr. Rishab Gupta. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. For a list of such considerations, please refer to the earnings presentation. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Akshay Pitti. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening and welcome, everyone. We hope you had a chance to review the presentation of our results, a copy of which is also available on our website. I'll briefly take you through the highlights of the operational and financial performance of the company and then open the floor for a Q&A session. The net revenue for the quarter was 290.71 crores, lower by 6.54%. The marginal drop on revenue was on account of raw material price reductions passed on to our clients. We have achieved an exceptional milestone by recording the highest-ever quarterly EBITDA of 42.43 crores, a growth of 19.69% on a YOY basis, and the highest volumes for the quarter of 9,958 metric tons. Our blended EBITDA stood at 42,607 rupees per metric ton. The net profit surged to 13.97 crores, a growth of 19.3% on a YOY basis. Capacity utilization for lamination during the quarter was 77.79%, and machining utilization stood at 86.28%. Our CapEx of brownfield expansion at Aurangabad and Hyderabad remains on track. As of 30th June 2023, the order book stood at 799 crores. I would now like to open the floor for a Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Balasubramanian from Arihant Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. My first question is regarding Indian Railways revenue has been declined by 8.1%, and renewable energy declined by 72.5%, oil and gas declined by 69.2%, and special purpose motors 17.6% decline. And we have seen some growth on the data center backup and power generation and other segments. Could you please share end-user application-wise demand environment and order inflows on the execution side also? Is there any seasonality in these application side, and is there any difference in order execution timeline for these areas? This is my first question.
The order input and demand side from all the end-user segments remain strong. First and foremost, due to the decrease in raw material prices, whatever we have passed on, as it is, the revenue will be lower when you compare to the previous year's corresponding quarter. As for the change in the revenue mix, that's on an operational basis. Some quarters, you have better demand from a certain end-user market, and the other time, you'll have somewhere else. If you see overall the distribution, you should see it in the sense that what is coming from power generation overall. So data centers is also power systems for data centers, power generation, renewable energy. If you total all three, more or less, it is similar as the last quarter. Within the core segment, the subsegments have moved a little bit. As for the railways, I think there's no much change. It's only the reinstating of the same order quantity on the new pricing.
On the railway side, Siemens received 1,200 locomotives of 9,000 HP from Indian Railways. So what kind of benefits you are anticipating from that order?
See, for the 9,000 HP locomotive order, Siemens is still in the design phase and I think they are still contracting that. As and when they start their subcontracting, we'll be also bidding for those projects. It's too early to have any positive impact for us, that order that they have won.
Okay, sir. Sir, on the incentive side, we supposed to receive 15 crore extra. We received around 14.6 crore in Q4. We supposed to receive around 30 crore. It's been postponed to FY24. We may expect in Q2 that 15 crore incentive, or it will get overall by end of the year.
We are expecting it around Q3, the overall incentive for last financial year as well as the 15 crores spillover from last year. We are expecting around Q3.
So overall, we may expect around the 43 crores for end of the year, right, sir?
Yes.
Fine, sir. Fine. Should we continue the next question, sir, or should I come back in queue?
I think you can continue the question. That will be better.
Okay, fine, sir. So on the exports revenue, it's around 92 crores. It's around 32% of sales. Could you please share the revenue breakup of country-wise? Is there any specific sectors we are witnessing traction on the export side?
So export side, apart from the core railways and mining business, which was the predominant exports, now the marine application and the renewable energy application is picking up on the exports front with certain customer wins in Europe.
Okay, got it, sir. So on the CapEx trend, I expect to continue in Q2 or
Hello?
Bala, sorry to interrupt you, but we are losing your audio. May I request to come in a better reception area, please?
Hello, I'm audible, sir?
Yes.
So on the CapEx front, we may expect to complete on that Q2 side, the Q2 FY24. And the machining utilization side, we have done almost healthy utilization of 86%. So what kind of utilization levels we may expect on the sheet metal side and machining side?
So till the new capacity comes up, we should expect 80%+ utilization on both of them. Our annual target is actually around 42 to 44,000 tons of sales. So for meeting that target, we'll be utilizing some of the capacities which are currently being installed and commissioned as well.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Ashutosh from Ambit Wealth PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, hi. So my question is, the segments which we operate in, we have seen that there is a lot of traction as far as the revenue ordering is concerned around this segment, the industry which you operate in and the clientele which you cater to. But if you see last three quarters, we have seen a dip in our top line. I mean, the top line hasn't grown much. And while the margins are stable. So just wanted to have a clear picture of how do you see the FY24 and FY25 from a growth perspective, top line perspective, and your comments on the margins going ahead.
So see, in our industry, revenue top line is not more important because due to raw material fluctuations, which are completely passed through to the client, any increase in raw material price on the same tonnage will increase the revenue, and on the same tonnage, if there's a decrease in raw material price, the revenues will decrease. So if you look at the last three quarters, our sales volume has gone up, I think every single quarter, if I'm not mistaken. And this quarter was the highest ever sales volume in the history of the company. So we are growing on a quarter-to-quarter basis. I think sequential quarter, we have grown about 5% in volume. And on the margins front, we are, I think, again, recorded the highest EBITDA margin for a single quarter this quarter. And EBITDA per ton was somewhere around 42,000 tons. going forward post capacity expansion, this should move towards 44,000 to 45,000 rupees per ton in the near future.
So what is the capacity capacity expansion we are taking, and when is it expected to come on stream?
72,000 tons is the plant capacity, and it's expected to come on stream between the end of this year to Q2 FY24.
And what is the current capacity you have?
50,000 tons.
50,000. Okay. So basically, the key from a tonnage perspective, the key, I mean, exponential growth would start trickling in from the start of FY25 is what I believe, right?
So the exit rate around this financial year for a quarter would be on track to achieve about 48,000 tons of sales. So if you see the way we have broken up our annual target of about 42 to 44 is at 10,000 in Q1, about 10,500 to 11,000 in Q2, and then, you know, every quarter 500 to 600 tons more.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you can press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Gunmeen Kohli from DR Choksi PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So my question was about the EBITDA per ton.
Sorry to interrupt you. Can I request you to speak through the handset, please?
Is it better?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So my question was about the EBITDA per ton. Can you talk about some of the levers for the expansion in EBITDA per ton? And what are you looking at, you know, these levers going ahead when you talk about 44,000 EBITDA per ton going ahead?
So the EBITDA per ton is blended between the sheet metal and machining business. The machining capacity expansion is exponential when compared to the lamination capacity expansion, which is planned. And the higher utilization of machining capacity would mean a better, more value-added product mix, obviously, which results in a higher EBITDA per ton on an overall basis. The second lever for EBITDA expansion would be the new capacities which we are commissioning are highly automated and will require less labor, which will also yield into EBITDA expansion. And third would be economies of scale. As we grow bigger, you know, the overall costs get spread on a higher tonnage.
Okay, so if I just look down the line about a couple of years from now, will this mix of loose lamination and assembled value added would be the same, or what are we looking at, you know, end of 24-25?
So I think if you look at the overall picture, we are moving more and more towards assembled. The trend, I think, should continue over the next 2 to 3 years. The assembled should constitute more than 80% of sales going forward. Currently, they are around 70-75%.
So is there a time in the future where we see that lamination business will be zero and it will only be assembled and value added?
No, so loose laminations, I think, would always be part of the product mix of the company, because some of the end user applications is not possible to supply assembled. If you take something like, say, a large power project, those laminations have to be assembled into a generator on site. Or if you take, you know, something like automotive, where we are talking of electric vehicle related components, there the customer currently wants to assemble them in-house. So those decisions are beyond our control. So those elements will still remain in the business going forward.
All right. So can you throw some color on the you know, business development on the EV front and the renewable energy front as well?
So renewable energy front, we have engaged with multiple clients, as you can see in our client list for India. Now we are also looking at those same clients for the European and North American requirements. So going forward, the renewables export will be a significant part of the renewable energy related business of the company. As far as electric vehicles is concerned, I would say automotive and electric, if I can merge it, because we are now engaged with Varroc, Dana, and a couple of other automotive customers for their legacy IC vehicle requirements as well as the EV requirements going forward. So electric bus related components we've been doing for more than 2-3 years now. And now we are looking at, what do you say, two-wheelers and three-wheelers as well.
Okay. And can you provide an update on the merger with Pitti Castings? What is the timeline for that?
So the relevant papers have been submitted to stock exchange and SEBI, and we are waiting for the approval. The regular due diligence is going on with the stock exchange and SEBI.
Okay. Any timeline for that?
We are on track for the timeline disclosed at the time of merger towards the end of current fiscal or quarter one of 2024, between that.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sanjeev from Dream Ladder Investments. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Can you give us an outline of the growth?
Sorry, but your voice is breaking. Can you come in a better reception area, please?
Yeah. Is it audible now?
Yes.
I wanted to know from the management that how will the components business fare in the coming years? What kind of growth trajectory we can expect?
So from the components business, going forward, post-merger, we expect a top line of about 300+ crores.
Okay. In what timeframe?
By FY25.
Okay. Okay, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Naveen Vijay from NS Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Just wanted to get a feel of the competitive intensity from importing countries like China, Korea, and Japan. Are they dumping, or do we have any protection on these laminations and sub-assemblies, sir?
So overall, I don't think India imports any laminations per se from any country, let alone these three countries. Electrical steel, which is the raw material, is imported from these countries, which is the raw material for us as well.
Okay. So only the raw material is imported, not the actual parts that we produce?
No. And raw material also increasingly is more and more manufactured within India. So if you see the transition over the last 10 years, there's a huge shift to localized raw material manufacturing on electrical steel. Only on the transformer laminations, which is the business that we are not part of, the stationary machines and transformers, there some imports might be there, which I would not be aware of.
Great. Coming to the CapEx side, going from 46,000 metric tons per annum to 72, when do you?
Sorry, but your voice is coming a little muffled.
Okay. Better now? Is it better now? Yeah. So on the CapEx side, coming from 46,000 to 72,000, when do you think the full 72,000 will attain optimal utilization? How many years will it take? Just a ballpark number, sir.
The optimum utilization is planned for FY26, which is 80% of installed capacity.
Okay. 80% of the installed capacity, as in 80% of the 72,000 metric tons per annum?
Yes. Yes.
Great. 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 And some color on our vision and goal to move from laminations to fully assembled products, sir. Where do you see that going? Is it being constrained now due to capacity, or how is it progressing, sir?
The full product, which would be the motor or the alternator, is something that we as a company would not want to start under our own brand. In terms of contract manufacturing, we might look at it as an opportunity in the future.
Got it. Got it. Got it. Thank you, sir. That's all my questions. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Yash Modi from Ashika Group. Please go ahead.
Hey, good evening, Akshay. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. Thank you.
So my first question was with respect to order book. Even though all segments are doing well, we're performing well, there is a slight dip in the order book that we've disclosed. Like last quarter is around 820-830 crores, and like this quarter it's 700-800 crores. So any big new order that we won this quarter, and how is this order outlook looking like?
So order outlook is looking very good over the next 1 year. We are having enough orders to fulfill our annual target of 40,000 to 44,000 tons. The only reason that is slightly down when compared to last quarter is because of the reinstatement on the current reinstatement on raw material price basis.
Got it. And
overall, in terms of tonnage, it's actually higher if you would look at it.
Got it. Makes sense. And in terms of the domestic and export mix that you see going forward, because obviously domestic is seeing good traction. So what do you expect the domestic and export mix? And with respect to that, how do you see the working capital of the company going forward?
So with the first of all, with the reduction in raw material pricing, we anyways would see a release of working capital due to lower sales in terms of rupees. But what we had earlier expecting that domestic would continue to outpace export growth, we are not seeing that anymore. We have good order wins from European market in the recent past, which would keep the export sales growth in the same level as the domestic sales growth.
Okay, got it. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Abhijit Mitra from Aionios Alpha. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. So I have a few questions. Firstly, on the revenue segmentation that you have provided, almost 93 crores from traction motor and railway components. How much of that would be exports?
I think out of that, the export content would be about 60 crores.
60 crores, got it. And the entire renewable energy part is exported?
No, that is currently domestic fully.
And
the exports for that segment would start from current quarter onwards.
Got it. And within the renewable energy, we see a decline YOY. So last year, there were some, you know, bunched up orders which were executing, or how to sort of look at it? Was there a collapse loss or a change in sort of...
So overall in renewable energy, we actually won more orders in this year when compared to last year. It's just that the execution is not on the same distribution in terms of quarterly spread.
Got it. And if you can sort of help us with the volume breakup in this quarter between between Aurangabad and Hyderabad.
So I think Aurangabad did somewhere around 6,500 odd tons, if I remember correctly. Ballpark, I'm just giving you a round number. And the remaining happened in Hyderabad.
Got it. And you see change in this run rate in the current quarter, meaningful change in this run rate in the current quarter?
In the current quarter, we are looking at something like 10,500 tons. And the distribution between Aurangabad and Hyderabad is going to be more or less same.
Got it. And if you can help us with the, you know, figures of Pitti Castings for the current quarter in terms of broad, top line and bottom line numbers?
That I will be having offhand with me, but we can get them across to you subject to compliance. I think I don't know whether I'm allowed to disclose that also if I get it from them.
Got it. No worries. And if you can help us with the, capex that you have incurred for the quarter and the net debt and the working capital cycle that you have at the end of Q1.
Just give me 1 second.
Sure.
17 crores of the capex incurred during the quarter. And the net debt is somewhere around 280, round figure I'm just giving you.
Got it. And the working capital cycle?
Working capital days, I think... I think it was somewhere around 70 days, yeah.
Got it. Thanks, that's all from my side. I'll join back in the queue. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kushal Keria from Wallford PMS. Please go ahead. Sorry, but you're not able to hear.
Question of my question is answered. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Pulkit Singhal from Dalmus Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers.
Thank you, Pulkit.
Yeah, first question is any new trends that you are seeing in the market that may kind of dictate growth for the next 2 to 3 years?
So one trend that we are seeing, when we used to earlier discuss the European market was pretty much, you know, kind of a closed market. We are seeing that it's opening up a little bit more for larger assemblies to start with. So that's an encouraging trend for us on the export front in terms of direct exports now.
Okay.
But other than that, shafts and machine components, like I mentioned some time ago, we are looking at almost a 300 crore opportunity in the component business within the next 2 years. So that's a very encouraging bit that the railway and non-railway related machine components is picking up in a very, very aggressive manner.
Okay. Okay. But in terms of exports, I understand you do direct exports and indirect as well.
Yes.
I mean, via domestic sales. If you were to hazard a guess, how much would be direct plus indirect together?
So direct, I think, is already reported in our numbers. I think indirect would be a small fraction, maybe 75, 80 crores could possibly go in terms of indirect to our end customers in Europe and US. But now the opportunity for European direct exports also is opening up.
Can you help us appreciate what that means in terms of size of opportunity and what is really driving some of those players to, you know, talk to us and engage with us?
So predominantly these opportunities are in the marine and wind power, both onshore and offshore. Right now those are the opportunities. Earlier these supply chains were either locally sourced within Europe or were sourced from China. Increasingly now Europeans don't want that additional cost from the European supplier, and they are also very, you know, being solely reliant on China. So that is actually giving an opportunity for Indian companies to make the presence in the European market.
Okay.
In terms of the size of opportunity, we have kind of started small supplies in the current quarter to some of these customers. And with them, we see a potential to ramp up this business to roughly 150 crores of opportunity within the next 2 years.
Right.
So it's a
right,
but significant opportunity for us.
So I'm just, you know, I mean, 150, like within these customers itself, like even if you reach 150 crores, what would be that as a percentage of their requirement, for instance?
As a percentage of their requirement, it will be around 20%.
Understood. Okay. But as a market size, I mean, is it, you know, any sense of what is the market size, how much is being sourced from China, how much Europe? I mean, any studies around that?
If you take the European market size as well, just the domestic European market size, it's in excess of 400,000-500,000 tons per annum of lamination requirement.
Okay. And how much is currently being sourced from China for them?
I'm saying domestic, what they source domestically.
Domestically,
what is being sourced from China, that number we don't have. I'm just giving you the sales of our European competitors. Within Europe.
Understood. Okay. Secondly, I mean, we are now at 280 crores net debt and we've done a good job in trying to now start to bring it down. And equity base is also going up. I'm just wondering, I mean, you may be seeing various opportunities when you talk to your customers. Do you think availability of capital is one constraint that prevents you from going a bit more aggressive in terms of targeting opportunities right now because you're trying to maintain a certain capital structure and financial health? Is that the situation?
So we are not constraining ourselves on growth due to any capital structure related issues. If you see overall, we've actually come down on our net debt and absolute debt also is down. So we are not actually focused only on bringing down the debt and sacrificing any opportunity of growth due to that. It's just a gestation period because a lot of the products are, you know, kind of going through the approval process. Like, you know, the approval process, some products are a year long and some are, you know, multi-year approvals. So as those approvals are coming in, the volumes are growing. And accordingly, we are aligning our capacity additions to keep up pace.
Okay. And capex plans, if you could mention for this year and next, and should the approval come in for the merger, how would that change your capex plan?
So if the approval for merger comes in, that would not substantially alter our capex plans. In that company as it is, we had planned about 15 crores of capex in its workings. So that would, that is anyway ongoing in the company, in that company as is. Apart from that, the overall outlay of 224 crores, which was for current year and next year combined, half of next year combined, we have spent about 17 crores in quarter one. Quarter two should see some heavier outflows, maybe to the tune of 35-40 crores. And then quarter three, quarter four will take the lion's share of the expenditure.
Understood. Got it. Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Capitalization would be towards the quarter one, quarter two.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. Next follow-up question is from the line of Gunveen Kohli from DR Choksi PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my line was actually dropped off, so apologies if this is a repetitive question. My question is on the components business. What do you see the margins going ahead for that? Because as we gather, the shaft business is using CNC machined shafts. So what is the margin profile over there?
So it's not just the shafts. In the components business, you have the shafts and the machining for fabricated parts and the machining on the castings that we do from the proposed merger entity. So we do the machining in Pitti Engineering. So that all of them put together is a components business. In that, the typical EBITDA is somewhere around 20-22%.
20 to 22%. So, you post the merger, do you reckon that the utilization of your components business is gonna go up, and that is why you are projecting 300 crores kind of a top line for the business?
No, so the approvals for these products have been in process for the last 2-3 years with Indian Railways and other railway related customers as well as the wind power customers. As the approvals are coming in and we have seen that the business is there for the taking, we have decided to go ahead with the merger because we don't want that kind of intercompany relationship between a promoter group entity.
Hmm. All right. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, remember star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Bala Subramanian from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, like, what is our current market share in the organized market share, or organized market, and what kind of market share is expected post capex? If you could share, what is the like industry level in terms of capacity and sales, that would be really helpful.
See, for the last year, organized and unorganized is difficult to say because eventually we take it from the steel supply side and the steel consumption side. Overall, for laminations, electrical motor and generator related laminations, the country consumed in total about 700,000 metric tons of steel, all told, of which we consume something like 70,000 tons. So empirically, we can state that we are about 10% of the Indian market.
How much we can expect,
sir?
Sorry? Apex.
With capex, I think we'll be hitting somewhere around 15%.
Okay. Sir, on that order book side, could you please share the order book breakup and the execution timeline?
So, out of the 799 crores, the long-term order book, which is executable beyond 12 months, should be in the vicinity of 200 crores. And balance 600 crores is executable within the next 12 months.
Okay. I missed on the capex part. How much we are going to spend on the Q2 and for next 2 years?
See, in quarter,
Hyderabad facility.
not including, because right now the capex is to actually shift the Hyderabad facility into Aurangabad and modernize it as well. So I can only give you a number which is, you know, kind of merged into one single capex block, as we have already given out.
Is it 220 crore, right, sir? Next 2 years?
Yeah. Not next 2 years. Next 15 months. It has to be executed by Q2 FY25. Hello?
Okay, sir. Yes, sir. Got it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pulkit Singhal from Dalmus Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. Just trying to understand better the European opportunity. You mentioned 400 to 500,000 is the domestic requirement. In your sense, how many people from India are able to actually target that or cater to that as of now, based on whatever you see in terms of competitive landscape?
So every single competitor is attempting to get into the market. Now the market is very widespread, you know, from automotive to railways, everything is there in the European market, including EVs. So each of our competitors are trying in many segments. I think the most widespread adoption of supplies of laminations from India and China is in the IC motors, which is, you know, kind of off-the-shelf motors, standardized design, not, you know, in terms of custom design.
Okay.
If I may classify them in some kind of terminology, like, for example, the CG Powers of Europe or, say, Bharat Bijlis of Europe, brands that we would not be aware of in India, because we know Siemens, ABB, and, you know, these kind of bigger multinational companies.
Right.
So they are currently most comfortable importing these laminations. Apart from this, then it goes into a higher-end segment. So companies like Siemens Gamesa or Engine Team, which are leaders in their field in marine engines, marine generators, and offshore wind and onshore wind.
Okay.
The sweet spot that is our company's core strength, which is, you know, the traction motor, railways, and industrial commercial motors, that is still not widely imported in Europe.
Which is what is starting now or not yet?
No, right now it's more power generation and marine applications
that we are able to penetrate.
And what our competitors in India are able to do and from China are able to do is in the appliance, consumer, and the lower-end industrials for companies, you know, which are something like the equivalent of Bharat Bijli of India in Europe.
Okay. Okay. And how are the economics?
Players.
Yeah. So I would have thought that we are best placed because of our track record and dominant market share in terms of the organized players in India. Is my understanding correct? Or you would say, no, there are easily credible players who can equally...
They are incredible lamination manufacturers in India apart from us. They may only have a difference of scale. So if we are, say, doing 10,000 tons a quarter, they might be doing 3,000-4,000 tons a quarter. But that doesn't take away their ability to make good product. And see, where they are specializing is, you know, catering to the smaller customers and in the smaller laminations, which was not the core strength of our company until recently. Only recently we have, you know, started paying attention to the smaller industrial consumer applications and not just the specialized applications such as special purpose motors, renewables, and traction motors.
Right. So
we are giving more attention to these segments, we'll be getting more breakthroughs even in the European market.
Yeah, I mean, this is a starting point. It'll kind of snowball later on once approvals come in and
there's
an experience of your products. But in terms of the economics, I mean, whenever you should reach whatever you're targeting with these new customers, how is it in terms of, loose versus assembled? How much value addition are you doing? Is the EBITDA per ton higher than what your company averages right now? How do we look at it?
The current opportunities which we have bagged, there the EBITDA per tons are higher than the average for the company. They are in the top 10% of the EBITDA per ton in terms of product profile, because these are highly assembled with, you know, shaft integration and various other machining happening on that product.
Okay.
We are yet to target industrial commercial laminations for the European market.
Right. But even there, the EBITDA per tons are, I mean, even would be higher or than the average, or
when compared to the Indian equivalent, yes.
Yes. Oh, thanks.
But not when compared to our overall company average.
Got it. Got it. Understood. Thank you so much, and all the best again.
Thank you very much. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions, ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the end of the Q&A session. And on behalf of Petty Engineering, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining the call. For further queries or visiting the plant, please be in touch with Rama Naidu from Intellect PR on 9920209623. Thank you for joining us and have a wonderful day.